iPhone or a tablet. Okay. Listen, I used to be upset about it. I'm no longer upset about it. It's the way it is. Right? That's the way it is. You know, we used to have, when I was coming up, we didn't have any cable TV, and so we had channels 2, 4, 5, and 7, right? Then about late 60s, cable came, and we got some more channels, right? We started using them, right? And then we had remote controls come, and we had color TV. How many remember black and white TV? Oh man, right? And we had little antenna ears on there. Am I dating myself? Man, and, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, we used to have these big console TVs, big like this. We call it 25-inch. 25-inch. Woo, y'all got 25-inch. Big old box. Right, and then we got those little flat screen TVs, right? How many still have the big old box TV? Should I even ask that question? Nobody. And so then we started hanging it on the wall, right? And then, you know, we moved and people had, you know, cable or whatever, DirecTV, and then they do these streaming services. So I think a lot of young people do streaming, like my daughter, she Hulu and somebody else he uses, Netflix, yeah, right? And so we're transitioning. And so sometimes, you know, we still have this, we have it in different forms, right? In our tablets or our smartphones. And so I'm glad that you have it today. And so 1 Peter chapter 4. But before I start off with that, I want to ask you, if you're not afraid to give me your answer, what is your definition of commitment? What is your definition of commitment? I give you about 10 seconds to think about it. What is your definition of commitment? And we'll see who is brave enough to actually speak up in this church setting. Anyone want to tell me their definition of commitment? Yes. All right. Good. Anybody else? Definition of commitment? Yes. Good. The state or quality. Keeley, did you stand up, you and Emerald, when I was acknowledging those mega sports camp? My granddaughter, the one that gave life to Jesus, she had a meltdown on Friday. She had missed 2 days of it, and though she didn't get the routine, and you know, the way she thought she was going to totally get it, and she's the type of girl that she will hyperventilate, right? And so I'm trying to console her. I ain't no good with kids. Ola raised the kids, And so Keeley come by, give me that girl. And she took her and got her calm. And next thing you know, they did a performance on Friday. She was doing the cartwheel. You guys saw it, right? I said, whoa. So thank you for doing that for her. Commitment, the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. The engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. I'm committed to this. God is calling us the church. If you're saved, you're the church. God is calling all of us to increase our level of commitment to the advancement of his kingdom. We are not simply building a church. Okay? We must remind ourselves that we are called to advance his kingdom. We cannot limit our thinking or our activity to building Lighthouse Covenant Fellowship. That's small thinking. Small thinking. There is a kingdom that needs to be advanced. And for some reason, God has chosen you and me to do the advancing. I've always said this, he don't need us. He could do it better and faster without us, because sometimes we get in the way. But he said, my church, these are the ones I'm going to use to advance my kingdom. We must be committed to having the same mindset that Christ had. It's not just about coming to church, but it includes being part of this community. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Do you have it there, Margo? Verse 1. It says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain. Now, for the most of us, unless we've come from a third world country in here, most of us have not suffered any physical pain for our belief system in Jesus. Correct me if I'm wrong, all right? But for most of us, we have not. We've not. If you look at the story of the martyrs, there's a guy named Polycarp in there. He was an old bishop. And he made a decision that he was not going to deny Christ. And so they came to get him. It's the Book of the Martyrs. They came to get him. The soldiers did to kill him. And the story goes that when they came, he actually fed them a meal. And then willingly went with them to the place where they're going to kill him. And they were going to burn him at the stake. And so they got him to the stake, and normally they would tie the people down. And Polycarp said this, there's no need to tie me down. I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to this. He said something like this, I've lived these 80-some years, and not once has Christ disappointed me. I'm committed. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude. Everyone say attitude. The attitude he had, that attitude was, I'm committed to the Father's plan. I'm committed to the Father's plan. Even if it means being talked about and slapped and spit on and ultimately crucified, I'm committed to the Father's plan. What the Bible says here is we must arm ourselves likewise with the same attitude. You must decide in your mind, I am committed. You have to be committed to something. Huh? This is the most, well, how do I say it? Without being offensive. Yes, so there is a high level of commitment to uncommitment. Is that a nice way of saying it? Right. There is a high level of commitment to uncommitment. We see it in every facet of life, right? There's no staying power. No staying power. Everyone's moving all the time. No. They don't take it the wrong way. Pastors, their longevity in churches, and there are a number of reasons why, but they move every 4 to 5 years from one church to another church, and that's the average length of time a pastor stays with a congregation. And whether you want to be critical about it or not, I don't know. But there seems to be, you just start getting to know people at 4 or 5 years. Right? And then you up and leave, and they have to get to know someone else who may stay another 4 or 5 years. Now, if God tell you to move, you got to move, there's no doubt. But I have to wonder, is God saying, everybody got to move? No one stays? Huh? With the same attitude he had, and be ready to what? Okay, tell your neighbor, be ready to suffer. He talked about me. He left. No. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. What the writer is saying there, listen, when you get to the point where you don't mind suffering physically for Christ, listen, the devil has no part in you. Like Polycarp, listen, I ain't going nowhere. Tie me to the stake. Burn me. I'm not going to deny Christ. I'm not going to deny Christ. This commitment is not about coming to church, but it includes being part of this community. You see, church is the practice for the game. Now, how many are familiar with basketball? How many are familiar with a guy named Allen Iverson? Okay. He had this famous quote. He went through, who, Allen Iverson, who was that? He had this famous quote. I know, Mark, you probably know what it is. He said, practice. You know, practice. I'm about the game. Practice. Church is the practice. Church is the practice. The game is outside the church when you're in close proximity to the unsaved. You see, the teaching you get here gets you ready for the game. Huh? I'm not saying it's a requirement to be saved or to stay saved or to show that you're this spiritual superpower. But listen, there was a time when, at least 30, 40 years ago, that we knew all the books of the Bible. There was a time. I'm not going to dare ask you today. But there was a time. The reason is we became familiar with it. Right? We spent time with it. We became familiar with it. It's not a requirement. It doesn't get you into heaven. What I'm saying is, if this is your craft, living for Jesus, being a soul winner, then we need to be familiar with the tools. Amen? I shared it with you years ago. My father, World War II, in the Army, they would have him at nighttime disassemble his rifle and put it back together again at nighttime. Because they wanted every soldier to be familiar with their weapon, right? And so you have to become familiar with your weapon. According to Ephesians, it talks about the whole armor of God. Your only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have to be committed to it. There has to be a level of commitment to this. See, it's going to take a commitment to the practice of getting better at this craft. If our craft is soul winning, every person here today, if you've been born again, God has commissioned you to be a soul winner. Don't say it's the pastor's duty, the prophet's duty, the evangelist, the apostle. No, it is everyone's duty to be a soul winner. That's your craft. So if that's my craft, Eric, you're a welder, right? That you're a welder. You have to become familiar and practice on becoming the best welder you can be. That's your craft. You got to practice that. Amen? If our craft is soul winning, we must be committed to it. This commitment requires, here's the word, sacrifice. Jesus spoke to the disciples in the book of Matthew. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must be willing to take up his cross. You got to be willing to sacrifice. And I know in this day and age, we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to wait for anything. We don't want to go through anything. We want the easy way. Amen? We want everything easy. And I know we didn't got spoiled. Huh? We got microwaves. Then we got this. One pot thing. What do you call it? One pot? Call it a one pot. Something like the pot. Look like a crock pot, but it ain't a crock pot. It's a crock pot? Instant pot. I ain't got time. I got to get me an instant pot. The instant pot. Man, just throw everything in there, flip it on, and here it is. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to make, no, we don't want to do that. My wife was making a cake last night. It's not for y'all. It ain't here. Don't be like, oh, we got that. No. And so I'll tell you what type of cake it was. It was a German chocolate cake. Because I want to make y'all feel bad. That's why I'm telling you that. I just messed y'all up. And so one of the last phases of it is this icing, this coconut nut and icing. And you got to, and you like it, huh? Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. And so she had our youngest daughter help her do the icing. And after about a couple of strokes, Portia said, I ain't never do this cake again. I ain't do this cake. Too much work. I ain't doing this. She don't, what? Come on now. We want things instant. We don't want to work for it. Amen? We want instant knowledge of the Word of God. We don't want to search the Word of God any longer. We want this right now. Amen? We do. You see, this taking up the cross means absolute commitment and not looking back. Putting my hand to the gospel plow and I'm not looking back. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've messed up, but I ain't going back. Huh? I've messed up, but I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. There was this old song we sang in this holiness church. It was something like this. Believe I'll run on and see what the end's going to be. I'm not going back. Huh? I don't know about you. I'm not going back. I left the world. I'm not going back. I'm committed. Now listen, I mess up, but I'm not going back. I'm facing forward. Glory to God. The same mindset that Christ has, I have a mindset. I'm going forward. The Bible says, Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must go to Jerusalem. That's where the crucifixion is going to happen. That's where they're going to arrest you falsely. That's where they're going to beat you unmercifully. And Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'm committed to the Father's plan. It says the same mindset that Christ had, we must have. I was in a small group this past semester. In fact, small groups will start in September. It'll be the same leaders that were before. If you're interested in being in a small group, I encourage you to call the office. If you've already been to a small group, continue, but it'll start the second Sunday in September. All of us need to be in some type of small group. It builds community. But I was in a small group this past semester over at Sister Lily's house. And Dixie, then the small group. And I can't remember what the lesson was for the night, but somewhere during the lesson, she told about an experience with some of her friends. They had invited her to participate in playing bocce ball. Bocce ball. What is, I know bocce ball. I looked it up. Bocce ball. If you don't look it up, bocce ball. But the game, bocce ball. They told her that the games are on Sunday. Even though she enjoys playing the game, she told them that she would not be participating in the games because she was committed to being in church on Sundays. Because on Sundays, she learns how to be better at her craft. Now, remember, this is just the practice. This is how we get better at our craft, right? The game really is outside, right? But this is how we get better at our craft. Because there are teachers here sharing the Word of God. Sunday school, morning worship, you get better at your craft, okay? Many of us are defeated in the battle of the flesh because we are unwilling to sacrifice. I don't want to give that up. We have the mindset that if it doesn't come easy, we don't want to do it. And I've been guilty. Listen, my wife, and I've told you this before, and I'll just tell you again. I don't know how many times I finally did it. I don't know how many times I tried to lose weight. And I didn't want to exercise or cut back on my eating. Such a waste of time. Right? What the? Why do all that when they have a pill? You can watch late night TV and you will see. And it's guaranteed to work. And so I've spent quite a few dollars buying these pills, and none of them worked. The only way I was able to lose the weight, I had to sacrifice on the plate and to get my behind in the gym. Huh? I had to sacrifice. Now, don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Are you like me? That you want a simple way of getting from where you're at to right? We want to be close to Christ, but we don't want to fast. We want to know the Lord's will, but we don't want to pray. Huh? We want to preach like Paul, but we don't study the Bible. Huh? No. You gotta sacrifice. You gotta want it more than anything else. You gotta want it. You gotta want it.
That's right.
Huh? You gotta want it. If the young man playing football, we'd have this exercise called this bull in the ring. And the coach would position you inside this circle. And you didn't know where it was coming from. But people would come and hit you like nobody's business. And you better be prepared, right, to take on that hit and shed it off, right? Your mindset is, yeah, I'm ready. You have to want it. You have to want it. It's not given to those who just want to be easy. You got to want it. You got to be hungry for the things of God. If you're not hungry for the things of God, you'll stay at the same level you are. I'm not saying you won't get to heaven, but you will never make a dramatic impact on the kingdom of God. You don't want it bad enough. If we're going to be a great church, then we require each of us to increase our commitment to sacrifice. Disciples had a hard time casting out this demon out of a young boy. Couldn't do it. Jesus comes down from the mountain, observe the situation, what's going on. They share with him. He says, bring the boy to me. Sorry, Siri. Okay. All right. Says, bring the boy to me. They bring the boy. Jesus casts the demon out of the boy. They walk away. You know the story. Disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we do that? He said, this doesn't happen without prayer and fasting. Without prayer and fasting. I know it's old school, you know, prayer for the old school, you know, what mama used to do years ago, fast and pray. Listen, it worked then, and it worked now. Amen? Huh? You want to run the devil out of your situation? Fast and pray. You want to be better at your craft? Fast and pray. God can speak to your heart and give you revelation knowledge as you fast and pray. You're fasting and you're praying and God is speaking to your spirit, telling you what to do and what not to do, giving you inside information about that situation that you're facing, and you go to work and you know how to handle it now because you spent time with God and you pushed the plate away. Listen, if we want to be a great church and we're all part of the church, we got to fast and pray. Okay, maybe this side ready. We got to fast and pray.
Amen.
Amen. Arm yourself likewise. You may ask, so what did it look like? And allow me to share a few points with you. Point number one, you can write this down if you can. Point number one. Commit to letting go of activities that go against the principles of Christ. And in fact, give me verse 2, Margo. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious. Everyone say anxious. Anxious to do the will of God. All right? There'd be a commitment to letting go of activities that go against the principles of God. You can no longer say, how close to the world can I get and still remain saved? No, the statement must be, how far from the world can I get while I'm still here on earth? Huh? How far? How can I be peculiar? How can I be different? Right? That's my commitment to letting go of activities that go against the principles of Christ. I know you don't want to hear it, but here it goes. If you like this boy or like this girl and they not saved, let them go. Let them go. Let it go of the activity that go against the principles of Christ. You cannot spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires. But we must be anxious to do the will of God. God, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will for me? I got to be anxious to do the will of God. Number two, commitment not to be moved by the verbal attacks your unsaved associates or coworkers make towards you. I'm not going to be moved by when they laugh at me or talk about me. I'm not going to be moved by that. I'm not going to be moved by that. Give me verse 4. Verse 4. It says, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. You used to do this with them. You used to take part in revelings and get drunk and get loaded. But now you've been born again. And you moved away from that. And listen, not just friends, but some of the harshest criticism comes from your cousins. Oh, you think you better than us now, huh? If I tell the church what you used to do, huh? They will slander you and talk, and you can't be moved by it. You can't retaliate by it. You cannot defend yourself against it. Keep your mouth shut. Yes, thank you, Lord. Because you have an advocate, right? And the lawyer, advocate, and he's your mouthpiece, amen? People who are on trial get in trouble when they speak on trial. You have an advocate. Keep your mouth shut. Amen? Let your advocate defend you. We get in trouble because we open our mouth too much. Keep your mouth shut. Tell your neighbor, just shut up. Just shut up. I don't know her. I can't say that to her. I don't even know her. She's a guest. I can't say that. Number three. Listen to this. Number three, commitment to a disciplined prayer life. If we're talking about becoming the church God wants us to be, becoming a great church, right? Sacrifice, commitment to a disciplined prayer life. Go with me to verse 7. Give me verse 7. Verse 7. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and what? Discipline and what? We will never do the things we talk about unless we schedule them. we have to schedule our time with the Lord. If we don't, then the busyness of life will crowd him out. I want to say it again. We have to schedule our time with the Lord. Don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Just think in your mind. Do you have an appointment on a regular basis with the Lord? Just think about it. If you do not, I want to encourage you to create one that he knows that you're going to meet him at a certain place at a certain time on these days. Amen? If you do not do it, it won't be done. And your prayer life will be like this. I'm in trouble. Oh, here I am, God. I'm out of trouble. Okay. I'm in trouble. God! I'm out of trouble. Okay. God! Right? You would never date a man or woman like that. Amen. What relationship works like that? That I call you or want to be with you, you know, when I need money. So one of my kids, I won't tell you which one because you'll think about it. One of my kids called me and said, "How's the best dad in the world doing today?" You know what that meant, right? I'm about to be poor. We have to have a commitment to a disciplined prayer life. That we schedule our time with the Lord. I know lives are busy. I understand that. But listen, supernaturally, when I schedule him in first, everything falls in place. And I'm able to get through even the tough times of my day because I've scheduled him first. I can't explain it, but it happens that way, right? You can't just say, well, I'll do it, you know, on the way to work. You can add that to it, but there needs to be some time with just you and him in some quiet place. I don't know, in your other bedroom, on your porch, in your backyard, wherever, where just you and him, and you can talk with him. It has to be a disciplined prayer life because those are the moments when God pours into you and shares with you what he wants you to do. Those are the moments that you build yourselves up. Those are the moments right there. If you do not do it, you will see your life being like this, uncommitted, undisciplined. You know, this week you're high on the Lord, this week you're low on the Lord because of your prayer life. If you ain't praying, man, there's no power there in your life. Somehow God interjects power into your life when you pray. Don't everybody raise your hand, but how many of you guys pray in the morning? Anybody pray in the morning? Okay, yeah. Good. You know, and I'm glad all you guys pray, but we got to increase it. All right? And I'm talking about increasing your talk. Sometimes you need to shut up, right, and listen. But watch this. We're so. I don't want to say it. Visually stimulated, or even verbally stimulated, we feel awkward when we sit and be quiet. And so we sense that we need to say something, right? You don't have to. Oftentimes, and not today, but there are times, especially when I was coming up, that you come up for the prayer line. And they're going to pray for you, and you because you're so awkward, you think you need to say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord." Listen, just receive, right? Sometimes we think that we need to speak in other tongues, and we do, and I'm for, and I do, and I pray in the Spirit. But you don't have to do it to show that I'm spiritual. Just receive, right? So in your time of prayer, don't limit it to just you talking. I've told you this before. What God has to say to you has a much greater value than what you have to say to the Lord. Amen? What he has to say to you has greater value, I guarantee it, than what you have to say to him. So just receive of the Lord. It's going to be awkward. And the enemy is going to speak to your mind, bring all to, I got to do the kitchen. Yeah, I got to get lunch ready. I got to do this. No, I'm not going to. No. I'm just going to sit and receive from the Lord. Huh? You got to have a disciplined prayer life. Right? I got two small ones. We're going to go. Number four, a commitment to hospitality without grumbling. A commitment to hospitality without grumbling. I think I want to go to verse 9. Give me verse 9, Margo. Give me verse 9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. A commitment to hospitality without grumbling. This grumbling means an overly concern of the cost of hospitality, which negates the benefit of hospitality. It's another small group tonight. I got to clean the house. I get food ready. That negates hospitality. You're grumbling. Huh? That negates the benefit. It means that you concentrate on the cost, burden, and the irritation that comes along with being hospitable. And let me tell you something. It is irritating. We've had folks in our home that stayed in our home, you know, a week or two. You know, you have your home set the way you have your home set up, right? And then when you be hospitable and let people come in and stay for a while, everything can turn upside down, right? Man, I have my cousins. Are we taping this? Monica, if you tell, I'm going to hurt you. I tell you that. And so, you know, garbage can full twice a day. Recycle can, garbage, milk gone, juice gone, water gone, everything. Come on now. It can be irritating. Y'all ever been irritated by your guests? Come in, they stay for a while. But if you focus on that, you negate the benefit of being hospitable. Right? And you got to focus on the benefit. Listen to this. God gave you a tool, an instrument to use for his glory. That instrument is your house. If you ever stop thinking that the house is the Lord and think that it's yours, you're in trouble. That house you own, it's the Lord's. He has allowed you to live in it, right, and to use it for his glory. And you must be willing to use your home for his glory. If you become selfish with it, God has a way of turning the table. He does. Number five, this is it. We must be committed to identifying and using the gift that God has placed in us. Give me 1 Peter 4 and 10. 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You got that? All right, someone go and get me. She don't have it. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. All right. We must be committed to identifying and using the gift God has placed in us. All right. This is what the Bible says. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. If the word of God is true, and who has Numbers 23:19? Who has it? Don't be afraid. Read it loud. Read it. Yes, read it. Someone. Okay. Yes. Say it again. So what they're saying is, God is true. God does not lie. If that's true, which it is true, then we move back, go back to 1 Peter 4, I think it was 10, then this is true. Okay? Numbers 23 says he doesn't lie. Then this is true. This is true. God has given who? Each of you. Each of you. Pastor? No. Each of you. Each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Everyone that's born again has a spiritual gift. The apostle says this. It's a command. Declare. Use them well to serve one another. There must be a commitment to identify what your gift is and then use it well to serve and to edify one another and to advance the kingdom. You can no longer walk around here saying, I don't have a gift. You're lying. Because Numbers 23:19 says God is true. And if God is true, this statement here is true. Then you have a gift. The issue is, I don't want to sacrifice enough to identify what it is, and then if I do know what it is, I don't want to sacrifice to use it because I'm too busy or I'm too this or I'm too that. If you ever think you're too busy to spend time with God or to do his kingdom work, God has a way of getting your attention. Don't tell me God won't knock you down on your bed of affliction and ask you the question, do you have time now? Psalms 23, it has this phrase in there, and it says this, and he makes me lie down. Because some of us are too stubborn to lie down and to stop and listen for God's voice. So God will have to make you lie down so you can hear his voice and rest. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Some of us are too busy. And it's busy with good stuff. But you're so busy, you can't hear God's voice. You're so busy, you can't exercise the gifting God has for you. Huh? You're so busy. And God is saying, pump your brakes. I know the Ten Commandments. It says, I think it's the fourth commandment. I think it's the fourth commandment. About the Sabbath. You say, well, we're not under the law. Okay. It's a principle. You got to rest one day. You got to rest one day. You're running 80 miles an hour on good stuff. But you got to rest. Huh? You got to rest. God designed your body to rest. When we do not rest, we go against God's design. Whenever we go against God's design, it brings trouble and heartache. Huh? And everything gets out of whack. Right? If we're going to be committed to advancing God's kingdom, you know what we got to do. We just said it. I'll say it again. Here it is. Commitment to letting go of activities that go against the principles of Christ. Commitment not to be moved by the verbal attacks that the unsaved friends and people make against you. Commitment to a disciplined prayer life. A commitment to hospitality without grumbling, right? And committed to identifying and using the gift, the spiritual gift God has given you. You have a gift. God expects you to use it to advance the kingdom. God is a chosen. I'm going to use these people to advance my kingdom. He's chosen to do that. He's given you gifts to do, spiritual gifts to advance his kingdom. You must spend time with God to identify what your gift is, and then you must be willing to use that gift for the advancement. Don't tell me you don't have one, because God's not a liar. God's word is true. Amen. Listen, stand to your feet. We're going to pray. I know you got to go. I want to thank you for your time being here today. Yeah. And this is, I'm going to pray today for you. You heard something today that kind of just sparked something in your mind, whether it's about gifting, whether it's about your discipline and prayer life, but you heard. Did anyone hear anything that kind of sparked them today? Yes. I want you to take this. I want you to run to your prayer closet today and say, Lord, how does this fit in with me? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And I'm going to pray that you will be better at your craft. Your craft is soul winning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, though, as your personal Savior, right? This is like, well, I don't know about all this. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to invite you today to give your life to Him. My granddaughter did, and other kids who did it this past week. But if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and what that means is you get to spend eternity with Him in heaven. He comes in and seals you with His Spirit and says, that's one of mine. Huh? Writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be removed. And so, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you like to do it today, and I'm going to ask for this as well. If for some reason you've fallen away from the Lord, whatever reason it is, and you want to make this recommitment, this word commitment back to Him, I'm going to ask you to come join me here at this altar. So that's two. If you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, come. If you've fallen away, come. It won't take long. You cannot stand before the judgment seat of God and say, well, no one told me. I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you an opportunity now to make Jesus the Lord of your life or to recommit yourself to Him. It's your opportunity to do it. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. Don't allow the enemy to harden your heart and say, do it later. I'll do it in private. You have the opportunity now. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you this chance. If not, let's pray a closing prayer. In fact, grab someone by the hand and we're going to pray. Grab someone by the hand. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this moment in time you've given to us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the anointing that rested upon the Apostle Peter as he penned these words being directed by your Spirit. I pray, God, that each one of us would recognize where we need to improve at and would give that to you. God, some need to discipline their prayer life. God, I pray that they would do that. God, I pray for those who may be here today who decided, I don't think I'm going to give my life to Him today. God, I pray that you give them another chance. God, that you would keep them another day. God, do not turn away from them, I pray. So, God, guys, we leave this place, but, of course, never your presence. I pray that your will be done in us and through us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the remainder of your Sunday, everyone.